Pop Spotting 188.
Wednesday, January 4th, 2012. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wildcard Wednesday, and as we plan ahead for 2012, we figured we'd spend some time looking back at the year that was.
Yes, it's one of those year-in-review podcasts, but we couldn't resist. 2011 was a pretty good year in pop culture, and of course, a special year for Pop Spotting. We kicked off the show last May and have posted over 130 episodes since.
We saw more movies this year than we've seen in ages. We have seen so much TV that I couldn't even imagine we'd watch that much. We've tried to keep up with good music, mostly with your help. There were so many great books and great apps and just a lot of good stuff last year.
So we're going to share some of our favorites, and since we are rolling into awards season, we'll also touch on the Golden Globes, which will be given out next Sunday. Of course, we'd like to hear your best of 2011 picks as well. Send them in and you can help us put together a Feedback Friday that's full of Listener Choice Award winners.
So let's start with movies.
All right. Well, because of this podcast and thanks to some wonderful friends here in Honolulu, and I guess especially thanks to the best babysitter in the world.
Hi, Grandma.
We saw more movies in theaters in 2011 than we probably saw in the previous 3 years combined.
And even then, when we went, we mostly saw kids' movies.
That's right. And still, last year, we know we missed a lot of good stuff, but we did like almost everything that we saw. So before we pick our favorites for 2011, any other movies that you really enjoyed? Any honorable mentions for last year?
I loved X-Men First Class. It's the first superhero movie that I can remember that had me completely from the moment it started. I thought James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender were just magnetic, both of them. I thought it was a really great movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a great deal. Of course, we also saw another big superhero film, Captain America. It's safe to say we could have liked that one more,
yeah.
However you interpret that. We did see a lot of kids' movies. I mean, I did want to mention one of the first Movie Mondays we did was Kung Fu Panda 2, because even though we can get away from the kids, we like to spend time with the kids. And
yeah,
so we saw what they wanted to see. There was Kung Fu Panda 2, Cars 2. I think we thought both added quite a bit. I mean, you know, they weren't complete wastes of sequels as far as kids' movies go.
I liked Kung Fu Panda 2 more than I liked Cars 2. You also saw Rio with the kids, which I didn't get to see.
Yeah, that one's a lot of fun. We talked about Real Steel, you know, Evangeline Lilly, and it actually wasn't a bad film. That's going to be one of those basic cable, you know, must-watches when it comes on there. And we really loved the Muppets.
Yes.
It was a big year for sequels of the big variety. We saw Fast Five, which we loved.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates 4, not quite as crazy about that. But we also had Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter film, which was a lot of fun, and in part because we got to see, we took our daughter out to see a midnight screening of that film.
That was so special and so much fun. I thought the movie was wonderful, but just the experience of being around all of those fans and watching it in such a charged environment was so much fun.
Yeah, so a lot of good stuff. Let's see, going through our podcast list here, Moneyball, Drive, Ides of March, of course, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I like that quite a bit. We gave it a pretty high score there. So let's go ahead and bestow our top picks. What was your favorite film of 2011, Jen?
I don't know. I'm having a hard time choosing between Harry Potter and Super 8. I've liked all of the Harry Potter movies. I'm on the books right now, and previously my only experience with Harry Potter was the films, and I really thought that this last film was a really solid finish to the series. I've watched it 3 times now, and I've really enjoyed every viewing. But on the other hand, Super 8 just charmed the pants off of me. I loved it. I loved all the performances. I loved the nostalgic feel. I can't wait to see it again.
Wow. You know, I wouldn't have expected Super 8 to be that high on the, I mean, I enjoyed it too. I think that it didn't quite hit all the bases for me. It was still a great film. J.J. Abrams, you know, keep giving that guy more work. But yeah, I can't disagree with Harry Potter 7.5, I guess, the last Harry Potter film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've not read any books but the first one, and I had to for a children's literature class. I've seen the other movies, but I can't even remember them. But yes, when we went to see the midnight screening and then watching it with our daughter over and over again, it's a great film. I think that's a great pick. My number one film of 2011, I almost picked Drive. I thought just because it was so unexpected and so odd, and it really stuck with me and lingered in my head for over a week. That could have been my
pick. Loved Drive also.
But I got to say, I held back when we reviewed The Descendants and I said, oh, I can't give it 5 stars. I'm just going to sound like a fanboy, but this is my chance, so I got to do it. I really, really, really love The Descendants. And, you know, we did hear from some listeners that were underwhelmed, and I know that I'm biased and I have a different perspective than the average moviegoer, at least someone outside of Hawaii, because of what I felt as a local in seeing that film. But I cannot shake, even now, how the movie made me feel, the sights of it, the sounds of it. I could almost smell the rain and Manoa Valley. So both as just a straight-up story of a broken everyman and a decent performance by George Clooney, but also just as a Hawaii resident and part Hawaiian, I really, really like The Descendants. So that is my top pick for 2011. Now, were there any missed opportunities? Sure there were many, but any films that came out last year that we missed that you think we really should have seen?
I've heard nothing but pretty much universal praise for Attack the Block. I hear that's a great film. We haven't been able to catch it yet. And also Midnight in Paris. I am not a Woody Allen fan by any stretch of the imagination, but my friend Matt loves this movie. And I figure if he likes it, it must be great.
Well, Attack the Block is on our to-do list, not on streaming at this point, but very popular. Came out in May from the same producers of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. So,
right.
So pretty good background there. I definitely want to see it. And Midnight in Paris, I guess I like Woody Allen more than you do. It was Nancy on Facebook who wanted a top 5 Woody Allen films. I'm not sure if you'll be able to muster that. But, you know, I think, Midnight in Paris, also something from last year that we really want to check out. On movies, I guess this is a good time to go over the Golden Globes, and they'll be given out next Sunday, as I mentioned, and unfortunately we haven't seen all the films that are nominated, but we did do pretty good on the Best Drama category. For Best Drama, we have The Descendants, we have The Help, we have Hugo, The Ides of March, Moneyball, and War Horse. We've seen most of those. Which one do you think will win, or which one do you think should win, or both?
The Descendants will win for sure. I'm calling it now.
Oh, well, I mean, I'd really like to see that. We haven't seen The Help or Hugo. I think we were a little underwhelmed by The Ides of March, mm-hmm. but Moneyball is my backup favorite there for Best Drama. Who's up for Best Comedy?
50-50, The Artist, Bridesmaids, Midnight in Paris, and My Week with Marilyn.
And we've seen none of these. Oh, wait, we did catch Bridesmaids. We caught it on streaming.
Yes.
But that's about it. I mean, we pretty much struck out in this category. Which one do you think will win just based on the names or the people attached to it?
The Artist is getting a lot of praise. It's a silent film, and it's getting a lot of good reviews. I think maybe the popular choice would be Bridesmaids, but I was really not impressed with it. I don't think it lived up to the hype.
It was a good film, but I think that it was one of those that was built up so much, even by friends and folks that we love, that when we finally settled in, we were like, that was funny, but, you know, it's super bad with girls. I mean, it wasn't incredibly remarkable. I think that Woody Allen might take this one, and maybe should, but, you know, we can't speak to that necessarily. Let's do the two top sort of actress categories. For Best Actor, we've got George Clooney in The Descendants, we've got Leonardo DiCaprio in J. Edgar, Michael Fassbender from Shame, Ryan Gosling from The Ides of March, and Brad Pitt in Moneyball. Any bets for this category?
I think they made a big mistake by not nominating Ryan Gosling for Drive, because I thought that was a much stronger performance.
I totally agree there.
I think it's probably going to go to Clooney.
Really? For The Descendants still?
Yeah.
You know, I think that the performance by Shailene Woodley was even more remarkable than his, but, you know, I can see the Foreign Press Association still going kind of loony for Clooney. Leo DiCaprio, you know, I thought that he was okay in the film, although the film kind of left me flat. I think it's going to come down to Fassbender or Clooney. It's just been Fassbender's year, you know, mm-hmm. Film Spotting, just completely gushing over the guy. And we haven't seen Shame, but we're very curious about that one. So who's up for a Best Actress?
Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs, Viola Davis for The Help, Rooney Mara for The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Meryl Streep for Iron Lady, and Tilda Swinton for We Need to Talk About Kevin.
And again, unfortunately, a pretty weak batting average for us here at Pop Spotting. I guess that's a 0.20 there. But we did see Rooney Mara and the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Some pretty solid names, though, there. So who do you think will or should win in this category for the Globes?
I think it'll come down to Rooney Mara or Meryl Streep, because Meryl Streep has really such a great track record, especially of historical figures.
Even up against Glenn Close. I mean, that's another strong name there. I want to and think it should be Rooney Mara. I mean, of anything with the Fincher version of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, it was her performance, I think, that really blew me away. So even though it is also the only film that we saw, I'd probably go with her as well. Let's move over to television. Now, 2011 was also the first full year with no new Lost episodes, and it was also this podcast that helped drive us to discover and enjoy a lot of the other great TV out there. Stuff we missed over the time that Lost was on, for sure, but also new stuff as well.
And I think 2011 was a really good year to come out of Lost Detox, because there was a lot worth watching. Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, Justified, Walking Dead. We covered a lot of things on TV Tuesday, but for today, let's focus on what was new in the last year.
Now, you know, back in September, episode 132, in fact, we did review the new shows for fall. We had a lot of great help from Daniel in Boston and other listeners who are basically more well-versed in the world of television than we are. It's definitely interesting to kind of go back and look at that list and see what we thought would work and what wouldn't, and really what ended up sticking. I mean, there was a lot of interest in Person of Interest. That's one of the new shows, and I think that we're enjoying it, but I wouldn't put it at the top of the list.
I like a lot of things about this show. I like Michael Emerson, of course. I'm really liking Taraji P. Henson, but Jim Caviezel is really occasionally unintentionally funny.
not occasionally. All the time. I mean, now I have a hard time watching the show without the Mystery Science Theater 3000 hat on and just giggling at his delivery. I just can't get over it. You know, some of the plots, some of the stories are either anvilicious or utterly ridiculous, but, you know, I'm enjoying the show. It's sort of up there with the upcoming show, Alcatraz, that's coming out in January 16th in terms of Lost alumni that we're going to be watching for.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
But Person of Interest, probably not my top pick. We looked at Terra Nova, Pan Am, Hell on Wheels. I mean, those were great shows in the sense that they were very ambitious in what they were trying to do. I think we saw something there, but it didn't really hold our attention.
Well, Terra Nova and Pan Am are no more, but as for Hell on Wheels, it's still on, and we watched, I think, the first three episodes, and I really wanted to like it just because of the way it looked and its grand ambition, but ultimately, for me, there was something missing.
Well, I'm not sure if Terra Nova is officially dead. I think it might be like with Community in terms of not on the schedule, but, you know, don't call us, we'll call you. But yeah, you know, give them credit for what they tried to do. We just talked about American Horror Story, Once Upon a Time. We're still watching Grimm. I think this is the reason why I like 2011 is all the fantasy and, you know, kind of interesting things that even the networks are trying to do. And you know, moving from the drama side to the comedy side, the sitcom side, not as many hits, I would say. We tried as many as we could. You know, Up All Night, I thought was pretty good. We had A New Girl, just really not our cup of tea, but obviously doing very, very well. Whitney, Free Agents, you know, the Hank Azaria show. I thought, right. You know, that wasn't bad, but I think it was Suburgatory was pretty much our only winner for the comedy side.
Suburgatory is the only new comedy that I'm watching. Otherwise, it's really all about Thursday night on NBC for us, Community and Parks and Rec and The Office.
Yeah, some of the old tried and trues there. But if you had to pick a drama or a comedy as your number one new show for 2011, what would it be?
Game of Thrones on HBO, because
of course.
I was so skeptical of this show. I heard a lot about the nudity, and we just
kept asking about that too. How naked is everybody?
It didn't sound like something I was into, and we didn't get HBO, but we did eventually get our hands on it, and we finished the season in less than a week, and it's just an amazing show. It's this fully drawn, beautiful, scary, wonderful universe, and Peter Dinklage's Tyrion is one of the most compelling characters on TV ever, and the final scene of the first season made me cheer. This show could really turn me into a fantasy nerd yet.
Yeah, oh, I can't even believe we didn't even mention it. Yes, that was 2011. That was a new series, Game of Thrones. We loved it. We reviewed it. We talked about it. Great pick there, and yes, we cannot wait for the next 10 episodes, season 2, beginning in April. I pick as my favorite show of 2011, and also sort of a tragic loss for 2011, is gonna be Prime Suspect.
Yeah.
Now, you know, yes, there are too many cop procedurals on TV. My mom's TiVo is full of every single one of them, they all blend together, except I thought Prime Suspect with Maria Bello. I thought that this series was refreshingly gritty and dark, and yes, it kind of had this cliche of a woman in a man's world, but it took that and made both sides of even that picture compelling. I love the performances, Maria's in particular. Even the typical case of the week was interesting that they were doing. I just thought it was actually a network show that felt like it could have been a premium cable cop show.
Yeah, maybe they'll resurrect it elsewhere.
I'd love to see that. In fact, you know, Netflix doing its sort of picking up original series, I think that Prime Suspect would be on that shortlist for me. But yes, it was canceled. It had really poor ratings, so I don't know what to say. I guess now we need to catch up on the British series that it was based on, that one starring the awesome Helen Mirren, but still Prime Suspect USA, we hardly knew ye.
I wanted to make a quick honorable mention, and this is not on my list because it's a show that debuted 2 years ago, but I wanted to tell everybody to watch Terriers. You have no excuses. Yes. It is streaming on Netflix. Just drop what you're doing and watch it.
Oh, you know,
trust me.
Yeah, shows that Netflix should pick up and pay for. I mean, Terriers is a fantastic show. Dona Logue and everybody on that, definitely check it out. But yes, not a new series. And we just started. I know some people are out there yelling, Downton Abbey. We just started watching it. We are enjoying it. So that probably should have made our list as well. Let's see what the Golden Globes say in terms of just dramas and comedies on television. What have we got for best drama?
American Horror Story, Boardwalk Empire, Boss, Game of Thrones, and Homeland.
Well, you know, I guess I'm going to go with Game of Thrones there.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
I think American Horror Story has a really decent chance, but I do think that Game of Thrones will get it.
I'm hearing great things about Homeland, but of course on Showtime, that's something we're going to have to catch later, same as for Boardwalk Empire. But yeah, Game of Thrones, good pick. On the comedy side for the Golden Globes, we've got Enlightened on HBO. I'm not sure if I'm familiar with that one. Episodes on Showtime, Glee on Fox, so that would be Katie's vote. Modern Family on ABC and New Girl on Fox, and only because we don't have the premium cable channels, I'm going to say Modern Family will
probably
take that.
I think Modern Family is the front runner because of its previous success in both the Emmys and the Golden Globes. I just, anything but Glee. It's such a mess this season.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't think people are watching that for any storylines, and now our daughter is never going to speak to you for the rest of the week. But yes, I probably would agree with that as well. It is a musical, but that's pretty much all that it's got going for it right now. You know, we've talked about movies, we've talked about television, and I do want to hear what your music pick of 2011 is, but I want to save that to the end so we can kind of close with a song. So let's do best book and best app, and you're the only one who's going to have a best book pick, but what have you got?
My favorite book read in 2011 is Skippy Dies by Paul Murray. It actually came out 2 years ago. This is a story about kids in Ireland, and it's just a beautiful, sad, heartbreaking tale of friendship and love and shattered dreams. And it's a long book, but it's well worth your time. All but right. My favorite book published in 2011 is Unfamiliar Fishes by Sarah Vowell. It's a brief history of the downfall of the Hawaiian Kingdom, and I think it's important for any American to know what happened to the monarchy here in Hawaii.
Well, you know, actually, then I'm going to make that my pick as well, because I did read about 7 chapters of Unfamiliar Fishes, the only book I think I got that far in this past year. And yeah, I mean, her style is very distinct and unique, and if you can get into the rhythm of the way she goes and the tangents and such, definitely a great pick, and we did review that in a past podcast if you want to hear a conversation about it. And Skippy Dies sounds good. Let's move to the geek category. We've done a few app shows, so I thought I'd wanted to hear your pick for the best app, or at least app discovery, of 2011.
I am very late to the Angry Birds party, but I am addicted. Pretty much any free moment I have, I'm playing Angry Birds. I've also discovered Evernote as a tool to make notes about the pictures that I take. You know, I briefly note what app I took it in and how I edit it. And it's really useful just to keep track of all the things that I've done. And another photo app that I've really enjoyed is Snapseed. It's a really great editing tool. It's very easy to use and has a really nice interface.
Well, you know, yes, NES Angry Birds is pretty much everywhere. I mean, they're going to be doing a movie based on the game, for crying out loud, and certainly not new, but I can confirm that you are completely obsessed with it. You are always yelling and screaming at those little pigs. If I make just the little oink noises that they make, you throw a pillow at me. So I can see that. Evernote, that was one of my app picks, I think, when we did our favorite app shows.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to bring you over there, and Snapseed photo editing. My pick would probably be one that I haven't talked about on the show, and it's something I'm picking even though it also aggravates me, and it is the app called Path. Now, I've been playing with Path for a long time, since it was in beta, and now it's, of course, many people's favorite app of the year. It's basically the Facebook timeline done right. It's what Facebook should be doing. I mean, they'll probably just buy this app because it's basically a way to share your live stream, what you're doing, where you're at, photos, locations, music that you're listening to. It sounds so conventional, but it's about the user interface. It's about how beautiful Path is, and I really can't stop using it, even though I use all of these other services to do the exact same thing. The reason why it makes me mad is because they say that they are the app for your close friends, and you can only have 150 contacts on it. And I know I'm just weird. I'm an aberration. I want to be friends with everybody. So nobody else probably has this problem except for really other obsessive nerds. But I want to connect with so many people, and now I have more requests to be friends on Path than I have friends on Path. And that's why it makes me crazy. But if you are a person who's interested in these things and are not a big obnoxious social butterfly, you might actually like Path, because it is designed for close family and friends, and it's just, you know, an elegant, beautiful interface. And yes, it is on both Android and iOS, so check out Path. To close out our Best of 2011 podcast, I wanted to share the music discovery of the year, of the past year, and I'll do mine first because it's pretty quick. We've actually heard it on the show, and it is totally credited to a pop spotting listener, good old Jeff Gentry, X-Force11 on Twitter. He sent in several music cues segments for Feedback Friday. I'm looking forward to many more in 2012,
yes,
but he turned
too.
Us on to Mumford & Sons. It's a British folk rock band. Of course, they are the darlings of the indie rock set now, but we were latecomers to it, and I just love them. I've been listening to their latest album from 2010, Sigh No More, constantly. They did just put out an EP in September as well, so if you want to check that out. But the Mumford & Sons, my music pick for 2011. But to close this out, Jen, what did you find last year that you just love?
It's a new album by Mayer Hawthorne called How Do You Do? I discovered Mayer Hawthorne from Stephen King's column in Entertainment Weekly. I bought his first album, A Strange Arrangement, and really enjoyed it. So I was very excited to get How Do You Do? He's from Michigan, and his sound is very Motown through the eyes of a kid from the 80s. And I love the whole album. It is a throwback, but he is obviously a music fan, and there are a lot of very modern touches to his sound.
Wow. Motown filtered through the 80s. I like that description. I don't think I've heard you play Mayer Hawthorne, at least in front of me, so I think that'll be great to sample here on the podcast. What track are you just addicted to by this guy?
Get to Know You.
It's
Get to Know You by Mayer Hawthorne, Jen's music discovery of 2011, and that will wrap up our Best of 2011 podcast here on Pop Spotting. And we want to hear again your picks, your favorite discoveries and finds from the last year. This show wouldn't exist without you or your feedback. Your suggestions are what keep us going.
We want it to be as easy as possible to be heard here on Pop Spotting. The best way is to leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a comment on the blog at popspotting.net.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting and on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
If you're having trouble keeping up with our show, don't worry. We are too. So if it'll help, you can get an email every time we post a new show. You can subscribe to our notification list, and you can do that at popspotting.net/subscribe.
We want to say thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our theme song, and we want to say mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
Pir Malenge.
Pir Malenge.